The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen, before we start the show, I'm going to give you a gift. Something I know is going to make you happy. Take a look at this tweet from Megatron.
I'm coming home. I'm coming home. That's why he a GOAT. Let's start the show.
Get it. He's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
What's up? And get the people what they want.
Big Eastern Conference matchup last night. I had to stay up for the whole thing. Of course, I'm talking about the Nets against the Bulls. The Nets had something to prove, as they haven't been playing great lately. They played well last night. Kyrie, James, KD, all on the floor at the same time. Did they prove something to you last night?
Now I'm going to show you how the East Coast rocks. They didn't necessarily prove anything to me last night, because once Kyrie returned as a partial player, they became my favorite to win the conference. The East has been a revolving door, kind of like when Michael Jordan retired. I remember in 98 losing to them in the conference finals, and then him retiring a couple years later, and then the East was a revolving door. Pacers made the finals, the Sixers made the finals. Like, it was a revolving door. That happened with the East when LeBron left. You saw Toronto go on and win the championship. Mm-hmm. You saw Miami win the East. You saw the Bucks win the championship. I think this is the chance and will be the opportunity for the Nets to do so. And you're going to have a lot of conversation about this game. My most important point is James Harden.
Yep.
Like I've been telling everyone, he was he seemed to be disinterested in many scenarios this season. And I know people hear me say that and then look at his stats and be like, wait a minute, he averages such and such and such and such. I know what I'm looking at. Mm. I saw the ball go in the backcourt in Detroit and it roll in front of his feet and somebody pick it up and go dunk it. I know what I'm looking at. Last night, what I was looking at is an interested, a happy, an engaged James Harden. Those 16 assists and the points. By the way, Kyrie, 9 points.
He didn't play great.
9 points.
He didn't play great. Right? He didn't have a bucket until like the late in the second quarter.
And there are going to be so many people that acknowledge Brooklyn playing D. They didn't win this game playing D. Mm-mm. You see how many points they scored? Look how many points they scored.
138 points.
That's why they won. And so, like I told you yesterday, they look to me like a team that goes into a locker room and writes 125 on the board. Remember, I played for Mike D'Antoni. I played with Steve Nash. I played with Sean Marks. I know what this is. If we get to this number, we're going to win.
And they did.
They got to that number.
I'm glad you brought up James, because it was really the passing last night that I found so impressive and sharp, the way he got sharp involved. And it seemed like he was more like the Rockets' James Harden than
correct.
I've seen since correct. He's been in a Nets uniform. And there's something really interesting about the Kyrie situation. Mm-hmm. It's great to have him on the road.
Yep.
There's a scenario in which the Nets franchise could pay a small fine to the city, something like $5,000, for him to play home games. Now, I don't think the money's standing in the way of them doing this, but is it the ethics and the morals and the stance and their pro-vaccination feelings that could stand in the way of this?
Well, what it is you continue to open Pandora's box for a guy that's a talented basketball player. Because if he was the 15th man on the roster, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Oh, no.
Right? But we know if he's healthy, they got a legitimate chance not only to win the East, but win the championship. And the reason why I made sure I pointed out Harden's play prior is because he has a player out after this year. Like, people look at this big three like it's forever. This is its third season. They've only played 16 games. KD's the only one signed beyond next year. So the sense of urgency in the time is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so a player like Kyrie helps take you there. So if you're the ownership, do you now cave on everything you believe in?
They've already halfway caved.
Put your chips in the middle of the table like most people do in sports and say, you know what? I'll take Antonio Brown if he's going to help me win the Super Bowl. That's what happens in sports. I don't think the Nets ownership, as of today, is going to do that.
But would you do it for the playoffs?
But for the playoffs,
maybe the surge is over and like they relax a little bit about COVID. And maybe in the playoffs, I could see it happen.
I'm going to tell you something else. I don't believe whatever they do, if they do pay that fine, this is going to be the only year for that. So let me just tell y'all this.
Last year for the
big three. This is what I think. This is going to be the only year for the Nets allowing Kyrie to be a part-time player if the rules in New York don't change.
If the rules in New York don't change by next season, I'm going to Mars. I'm going to the space station.
So if that's the case, and you're the Nets, you've allowed them to be a part-time player, you might as well pay the fine and go through this season. But trust me, I believe once the draft happens, you're going to look at the bottom of the ticker, and it's going to be like the Nets ain't allowing Kyrie to be a part-time player next year.
We can't speculate on the future of this
that's what
pandemic.
I think.
You know what I mean? We can't
speculate
on the
future of
the pandemic. I thought this was going to last for 2 weeks, and here we are 2 years later.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a very quick question. Is this the last year the big three are in Brooklyn?
No.
Great to hear.
After everything I just said, no. I think they find a way to get it together. I think they came for a mission. Think about it. KD left the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And they reinvented themselves without him. James Harden basically quit on the Rockets to get traded. Like, they need this to work, and I think it will work starting this season.
Well, veteran-laden team in the East Coast with a lot of stars. Veteran-laden team in the West Coast with a lot of stars in a different position. That's the Lakers. They were playing the Kings, who they've lost to earlier this season in overtime. LeBron James, again, mm-hmm. 34 points.
Mm.
However, most important stat would be the win-loss, and they ended up losing to the lowly Kings, who are on a losing streak themselves. Jalen, what is happening?
I know you want to talk about LeBron, but I just got to say a name first. You know how much I love Halliburton.
I know you love Halliburton. I love Fox.
Jeez.
I'm calling for Fox.
No doubt about it. Here's the thing. Like, LeBron James, I saw a stat, like, has the most 30-point games amongst players in the league. But his win percentage is around 50%.
They're now 10-9 when he scores more than 30. Think about that.
So what does that tell Jalen? Anthony Davis is out.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. They're without there.
That's not it.
We have to talk about Mr. Westbrook a little bit.
It's not just because Anthony Davis is out. It's because Russell Westbrook isn't playing like Russell Westbrook right now.
So do you think the Sacramento Kings beat the Lakers with Anthony Davis? I don't.
No, of course not.
Okay.
But do the Lakers beat the Sacramento Kings with a better Russell Westbrook? Russell Westbrook in the last four games, we have the numbers. He has not been shooting very well. He's cut down the turnovers, but he is shooting a low, low percentage from the field.
Westbrook is trending way too often.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. I can see. What, 2 for 14?
Yeah.
Right? And the Sacramento Kings guards are the reason why they won. So that's both. So people talking about his shooting, they weren't able to contain the dribble either.
Great point.
And defend. I like how Monk has found minutes with the Lakers and a substantial role with the team. But this Lakers team is just not a contender without AD in particular.
Look at Russell Westbrook's last four games. Like, look at the shooting percentages. Like, he's not over 500 or near 50% in any of those games.
Well, the worst is that the single digit games, 9, 6, and 8.
Two against the Kings, too.
Yeah. When you look back at the deal for Westbrook, it's going to be a bad one by the Lakers. It's going to be a bad deal. Teams make bad deals.
Mm-hmm.
And Rob Pelinka, Sean Marks, and the Golden State Warriors, like they...
I still believe in the Lakers, though.
You do?
I really do.
Okay.
Like you say, when you look back at the Lakers, it's going to be a bad deal. I'm like, there's a puncher's chance that they end up in the finals.
There ain't a puncher's chance.
Yes, there is, Jalen. You can't say that.
Yes, it is.
You can't say that.
It is. Well,
you got LeBron, AD, and Westbrook?
Well, let me tell you what else they got. Like, I like Bradley. I like Monk. Like, what ends up happening is when AD returns... Like, it allows everybody to fall back into their normal roles and obligations.
Yeah, LeBron doesn't have to jump center anymore.
And by the way, this is what I love about this. I've driven the Memphis Grizzlies bandwagon, mm-hmm. but I'm about to say something right now. that people are going to forget I've been doing that. I believe the Phoenix Suns and the Golden State Warriors have distinguished themselves in the East. Yes. I mean, in the West.
Yes.
I believe the next tier is the Jazz, Memphis, and Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you.
Puncher's chance.
They do got a puncher's chance.
Well, right now it is time for one of our signature segments. It is time for Soft Move or Boss Move.
Let's get it.
Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers snuck into the playoffs. They face the Chiefs in their underdogs. And Ben Roethlisberger spoke about this game, and he confused me. I had to watch this like seven times. I have no idea what he's doing. I need you to translate this for me.
Okay.
Here is Ben Roethlisberger about his Steelers as they approach the playoff game against the Chiefs.
Out of 14 teams I think are in, we're probably number 14. We're a double-digit underdog in the playoffs. So let's just go play and have fun and see what happens. I mean, I hope we don't go in there and get blown out by 40 or 30 points.
Jalen, you know I love low expectations. And he couldn't have brought them lower. He's like, I hope we don't get blown out. Soft move or boss move. Being really realistic about your chances in a playoff game in advance of that game.
Definitely a boss move. Here's why. He a Hall of Famer. He's a champion. He's a seasoned veteran. You can't sugarcoat what's about to happen this weekend. And when you get in front of that podium, you got to send a message to everybody else in the locker room. Y'all better be listening, focused, or paying attention, or we going to get waxed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is.
What else it is to me is like, let me just take the pressure off the team. Let me take the pressure off. You know, guys, let's go out there and have fun and hope we don't get blown out.
I'm glad you went there. See, most people like would have that logic. But you know when the pressure ain't off? Between now and the game. See, he didn't say that for the game day. He said that leading up to the game. So now the pressure for the other 52 guys is on. Because now when you're walking through the building, you're going to be bobbing your head to the music. Mike Tomlin going to be like, seriously, you know what's happening this weekend, right? And so there has to be a sense of urgency. That's what he's asking for. And by the way, in his final game, potentially with the franchise.
Or with the league.
Correct.
It's very interesting. I love what he did there.
I do too.
And I also want to show you what Cliff Kingsbury did, which was almost the exact opposite. We will break down and tell you what Cliff Kingsbury said about our guy, Kyler Murray, Kyler Pesci, right after this. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Get out of line, you get whacked. Everybody knew the rules.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby, brought to you by Chase, coming to you live from the Seaport. Jalen, Aaron Rodgers had kind of a week off last week, and he's got a week off next week.
Oh, it's like that? You're going to diss my
Lions?
It's
like that. It's exactly what I'm going to do. And he said that after that week off, he will be 100% healthy, no toe issues. How important is that, Aaron Rodgers, and this playoff run for his future in Green Bay?
I'll never minimize players fighting through pain. But whatever pain he was dealing with, the rest of the world will take it.
Yes. MVP, four interceptions, toe injury, no injury.
And so rest is always a good thing at this point of a season, especially for a veteran player. And the Packers have been a terrific playoff team the last couple of years. I mean, they made it to the NFC Championship. He is the reigning MVP. Like you said it first on this show, that you believe he's going to come back, and I agree with you.
I can't imagine a scenario in which, unless this really falls on its face in their first playoff game, which is going to be round two, if they win that, they're back in the NFC Championship. They're going to be back in the NFC Championship.
But you know what?
What?
Even if they lose like you just said, I think he still stays.
I think he stays regardless.
But let me tell you why. Because if they lose the way you just said, that means he played bad.
Fair. It's going to be at home.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and by the way, you know what gets lost in this equation? Matt LaFleur is a terrific young coach.
Yep.
Like we talk a lot about Sean McVay, and rightfully so, and Shanahan and McDermott. But I see him in the same vein as those young great minds. And so our guy Aaron Jones, hopefully he's very productive. I like this Packers team, and I think they're poised to make a long run.
I think so, too. And I also think that Aaron Rodgers will stay in Green Bay. Remember that when the news comes out. Jalen, remember Ben Roethlisberger was talking about how they're the worst team in the playoffs and they hope they don't get blown out?
Facts.
Well, Cliff Kingsbury has a different approach to his expectations for his playoff team, in particular his quarterback. Let's listen to what Cliff Kingsbury has to say.
I think this is what he's been waiting for 3 years. He's a guy who you know wants to be playing for something and knows he's playing for something, and this is his first shot at the playoffs, and I expect him to play probably the best game of his career, and I know he's going to give it everything he's got.
That's exactly what you say about Kyler Pesce. And people sometimes wonder why I call him that. Well, if you've seen movies like Casino, the smallest guy in the room carries the biggest stick in a lot of ways. And for him to now be in the playoffs without D-Hop, I agree with Coach. Like, he's going to be really eager to prove himself on this stage. And as I look at this matchup, I was thinking about something, Jacoby.
What were you thinking about?
Imagine if these two teams were able to switch quarterbacks this weekend. What would you think about the Rams then?
I would think much more highly of the Rams. Okay. It's also because Kyler Murray can win with his arm, but what he can do with his legs and his escapability and the way that he can get around edge rushers and just break contain, like, he has an aspect to his game that Matt Stafford just simply does not. And you've seen a lot of Matt Stafford.
Absolutely. And this is a big proving ground for him too. Mm-hmm. And while we're talking about Kyler in his first playoff game, in his third season, Matthew Stafford's been in the league over a decade, and this is also his first playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
And shout to Cooper Kupp, who was terrific this season. Yep. Happy to see OBJ reinvent himself. But I want to see if Aaron Donald and my guy Jalen Ramsey, like, I need to see their defense get more takeaways.
Yeah.
In particular, in the second season. Like, if you got two 99s on the D, like, they need to be forcing that defense, not necessarily those two players, should be forcing some turnovers. And if they're able to do that, that helps Matthew Stafford. If he got to drive 80 yards down the field every time, that's not a recipe long-term for success to them trying to win a Super Bowl.
That's a really good point. Gentlemen, turn our attention to the Northwest in Portland. It is reported that Dame Lillard went through successful abdominal surgery. However, he's supposed to be out 6 to 8 weeks. Woj is reporting that this will not change Portland's plan to build around Dame Lillard moving forward. However, 8 weeks is a long time, and they're not looking good in the standings right now. What does this mean for his season in Portland moving forward?
So as I look at that timeline, you know what that tells me? He's done for the season.
Really?
Yes. Because look at this time. Why come back March 15th mid-March, and the season's going to be over 2 weeks later?
When you're 8 games out of the playoffs.
That part. Now, if they miraculously continue to find a way to go on a run.
They won now?
If they find a way to go on a run type of thing, which I don't believe is going to happen, then that's a reason for him to come back, a la Kawhi Leonard with the Clippers type of thing.
Mm.
But I believe he doesn't play this year. If I'm the Portland Trailblazers, I don't trade Dame.
No.
The day they do that, irrelevant.
I might trade CJ, though. Every year when Portland falls short, we talk about CJ and Dame and how one of them should probably go via trade. And some tells me that will happen after this season, how bad this season has been. And a lot of it has to do with injury, both to Dame and CJ. Moving on, Mr. Rose. Bing bong. Before the big Eastern Conference matchup between the Bulls and the Nets was a little matchup between the suddenly hot Mavs and R.J. Barrett and the Knicks. And it was R.J. Barrett with his 32 points, two 30-point games in a row for Mr. Barrett, your lefty. What do you think about the Knicks' performance last night against the Mavs? He's been playing well lately.
R.J. Barrett's maturation. And I've said this since he joined the Knicks. I always appreciated whatever turbulence that team, fan base, whether they were first in the standings, whether they were 10th in the standings, whether they were in the playoffs or not. To be on this stage and to be as steady as he's been is really remarkable for somebody that's 21 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
And now that productivity is catching up with that talent. And he's not forcing or rushing his game. And I want to give Julius Randle a lot of credit because we talked about him going back and forth with the fans.
Yep.
He was trying to work himself into the game. He wasn't forcing. I remember he had it on the post earlier in the game, kicked it out to Burks for a three, and all of a sudden he made an 8-footer. He made a 16-footer. Mm-hmm. He made a three, and his game was gone. The same with R.J. Barrett. If you notice on those highlights, he ain't dribbling the ball like 4 or 5 times to get a shot.
Mm-mm.
So what does that mean? That means being decisive.
But I need to see those highlights again for one reason, because you played a very long time. in the NBA, right? And I want you to look at this second play when he has the double clutch reverse dunk. If you're a guard in the NBA and you've got Obi Toppin trailing you, you got to alley-oop that. You got to alley-oop that, Jalen, don't you?
You know I would have because I can't jump. So I learned that very early. In high school with a Voshon Leonard, college DeRay and Jimmy. I'm throwing it up, baby. No doubt about it. Come on, RJ.
Come on, RJ.
Let OB eat.
We have so much more to discuss. If you don't want to change the channel, stay tuned. We'll be back with more right after this on Jalen and Jacoby. Doubleheader on ESPN this Friday. Of course, it starts with the NBA Countdown with Jalen Rose in the suit at 7. And then at 7:30, it is two of the best teams in the league, the Warriors and the Bulls. And then in the nightcap at 10 p.m., it is the Mavs, who've been playing well lately, going up against the Grizz, who have also been playing well lately. Big doubleheader Friday night on ESPN. Jalen, we have some Woj information. He is reporting a trade between the Hawks and the New York Knickerbockers. The key piece of this trade is Cam Reddish traded to the Knicks along with Solomon Hill and a future second-round pick. The Hawks get back Kevin Knox and a protected 2022 first-round New York Knicks pick. Jalen, what kind of impact can Cam have on the Knicks?
I love this for the Knicks. It's head-scratching for the Hawks.
Sure is.
Why the last year or so, it seemed like as the Atlanta Hawks were building out their future, Cam Reddish wasn't a part of it.
Don't know. He's been injured, but it seems like you got DeAndre Hunter. You've got Cam Reddish. Let's not forget a couple things. Cam Reddish is a number 10 pick. Let's also not forget this. Cam Reddish had a couple good games against the Knicks in the playoffs. And let's not forget this. Where did Cam Reddish play college basketball?
Duke University.
Who was on that team?
RJ Barrett.
Love this for the Knicks.
I love it so very much. And it just gives him more versatility on the perimeter. He's a defender. He's a scorer when he gets going. Mm-hmm. And now the flexibility that they're going to have within their roster without really giving up a rotation player.
No.
And now adding one. Like, he's going to go from not being on the team to starting.
It's great. I love
this. You see what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, I guess the Hawks get back a first-round pick, which will probably end up outside the protection. But I love this for the New York Knickerbockers. We'll be back tomorrow. ESPN2 at 4 p.m.
Too kind.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners.
We give the people what they want.
But today, I'm giving the people something they don't want. It's an apology. We had some tech issues, so we don't have time to do the podcast exclusive. And you know what, Jalen? I hate letting people down. So we're going to have to double down tomorrow. Call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us voicemails. We got you tomorrow.
Check out this Renaissance Man. Check out Renaissance
Who's on Renaissance Man?
Raekwon the Chef.
Raekwon the Chef on Renaissance Man. You can find that wherever you listen to podcasts. We will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We are not done.
Appreciate y'all very much.